Welcome back to Fit Buddy Happy Joints. My name is Shannon. I want to do a quick podcast about spot treating fat and cellulite because we often get asked about this, and I would love to have a resource to send to you all to give you some helpful insight. Now, this is not an open invitation to over-obsess about every little thing in our body. That is not the intention of this episode. The intention of this episode is to educate you about how nutrition and exercise affect our bodies. And know that some of this is just going to be part of being a woman. And part of being a woman means we store fat in different places and we have different anatomy of our fat cells, which means that we're more prone to cellulite. And I also want you to just feel educated so that you have your eyes wide open because you will inevitably come across, you know, people that are trying to sell you fitness routines that are, you know, toning up your arms or tightening and lifting your booty or getting rid of cellulite or whatever it might be. So I want to preface this by saying this is not something that I want to continue to talk about. Like, I don't love to talk about the aesthetic side of things. I just want you to see this as an educational piece of content so that you truly can understand what's happening in your body when you make certain choices with diet, lifestyle, and exercise. So you can change the appearance of your body with exercise and diet. This is true. And maybe this is like a toned aesthetic or whatever you might, a tightened, a snatched aesthetic. But basically what this is body recomposition. And this is where you lose fat and gain muscle at the same time. Now, people think that this is mostly exercise, when in reality, it's a combination of exercise and diet. It comes from being in a slight calorie deficit, and it comes from choosing a hypertrophy routine or a muscle building routine like Evlo. And I'm going to talk more about this at the end. But the bottom line, I think, before we even get into this, is that there's no evidence that you can preferentially reduce fat in certain areas of your body with targeted exercises. Fat loss happens systemically, which means certain people will lose fat in certain areas first before other areas. And a lot of it just depends on your genetics, your gender, your age, things like that. So it takes being in a sustained calorie deficit to lose fat in the quote unquote stubborn areas. It's not like you could just do more lunges or bridges and lose fat and cellulite in your glutes. People think that like, oh, I want to tone up my glutes, so that means I need to do more glute exercises. Or I want to get rid of cellulite in my glutes, so that means I need to do more glute exercises. That's not necessarily how it works. It comes from being in a sustained calorie deficit. You might lose fat in, you know, your upper body before you lose fat in your lower body. Or everyone's going to be a little bit different. Additionally, exercise is going to play a very small and generally insignificant role in fat loss, contrary to what we've been led to believe. Exercise is not what's going to snatch you or tighten you up. It has to come down to how you're eating. So check out episode number 107 for more info on exercise and leanness. And then also listen to episode number 108 for more info on nutrition and leanness, which I interviewed Hope Brandt, who's a registered dietitian. So check out those two episodes if you need to learn more about that. Now, what about belly fat? You might have heard HIIT or high intensity interval training reduces belly fat. Where is this coming from? So when these people are saying HIIT reduces belly fat, this is true, but it isn't significantly reducing the fat that you see, the subcutaneous fat, but rather it's having an effect on visceral fat, the fat that you can't see that surrounds your organs. So visceral fat is fat that might not make a visual change in your waistline because, again, it's in, you probably can't see it. It's inside of your body. It's around your organs. But having less visceral fat is linked to better metabolic health. The reason that HIIT or high intensity interval training might be reducing visceral fat or belly fat, quote unquote, is because of its effect on insulin sensitivity. So HIIT can improve insulin sensitivity, which will have an effect on your, on the fat that's around your organs. But you can also improve your insulin sensitivity by building muscle. HIIT is not the only way to reduce visceral fat. Building muscle is also going to improve your insulin sensitivity and your metabolic health and therefore have an effect on visceral fat. So if you've heard like HIIT reduces belly fat, and you're like, well, that's spot treating fat, isn't it? Kind of yes, kind of no, because people think that it's the, like, it's going to reduce their waistline. Whereas in reality, this is just visceral fat. It's the fat that's around your organs. So exercise in general does not have a huge effect on fat loss, things that I've talked about in so many episodes. I also talk about calorie burn and your calorie burn plateau in episode number 131, because I'm not recommending being inactive either. Having a certain baseline level of activity is important to keep your overall energy expenditure high. You just don't need a ton of it. And I don't recommend relying on exercise as a tool to burn fat, burn calories, lose weight. Okay, so that is exercise and spot treating fat. Don't fall for all the gimmicks that say that you just need to do these certain exercises to snatch your arms or whatever it might be. Let's talk about cellulite. How can exercise affect cellulite? And again, this is a question that I've gotten multiple times from people. They're like, what exercises should I do if I have cellulite in my legs or my hips or whatever? So cellulite is a dimpling effect of the skin that happens mostly in women, often in the hips and thighs. And this does appear to have a hereditary component, but it affects 80 to 98% of women. So most of us have it, which is so funny. Like, I don't know why we're all hiding it. Most of us have it. Smoking makes cellulite worse, since smoking tends to weaken the formation of collagen in the skin. And women of all shapes and sizes have cellulite, but it does tend to be more pronounced with more fat mass. Women tend to get cellulite more than men because the anatomy of our fat cells are different. So it also might be driven slightly by estrogen, but our fat cells are shaped differently, which creates that dimpling effect. Men's fat cells tend to spread out laterally, while women's fat cells tend to kind of protrude upward. So that's what causes that dimpling effect, is because of the shape of our fat cells. Now, what about exercise? Can exercise treat or improve cellulite? So fat loss can help improve the appearance of cellulite, and gaining muscle can also help improve the appearance of cellulite. So body recomposition, or losing fat and gaining muscle at the same time, will be the best approach to reduce the appearance of cellulite, but it might not go away completely. So by gaining muscle and losing fat, again, you might have a reduction in the appearance of cellulite. But remember that gaining muscle and losing fat, exercise is only a part of the equation. It's mostly going to be up to how you're eating, and I'm going to talk about that here in a second. So let's sum this up, and we'll talk about body recomposition, and I'll let you go. So you can't preferentially choose where you lose fat. You can't spot treat fat. Fat loss will happen faster in some areas than others, and is primarily due to being in a sustained calorie deficit. Losing fat in those quote-unquote problem areas might take a long time, and that's okay. Losing fat and gaining muscle, so body recomposition, might help with the appearance of cellulite. But please be aware that body recomposition happens slowly, not a matter of weeks, but more like a matter of months or years or longer. So it's a slower process, but it does tend to be more sustainable, because you're not going to be in a huge calorie deficit. So for body recomposition, losing fat and gaining muscle at the same time, that quote unquote toned look, you do want to be in a small calorie deficit, around 200 calories below your baseline. And you can calculate your baseline or your maintenance calories by finding your total daily energy expenditure, your TDEE. So you want to be in just a slight calorie deficit below your TDEE. You also want to keep your protein high, so between about 0.75 to 1 grams of protein per pound of body mass. And this will allow you to avoid losing muscle as you're cutting calories, and hopefully allow you to gain muscle. So body recomposition. I know that was a lot. In Evlo, we have a body recomposition guide that was written by a registered dietitian to help you calculate your calorie and protein needs. So you can find that in the Learn tab. So navigate to the Learn tab, navigate down to nutrition guides. And then if you swipe all the way to the end, you'll see the body recomposition guide that walks you through this. We also have in our guide section, in our Learn tab, we have a 5 basics to building muscle, which is going to be really important when you're in this journey, if you are in this journey, to stimulate muscles properly. So if you go to the fitness guides under the Learn tab, scroll down and you'll see the 5 basics to building muscle. Both of these are like 3-minute reads. We wanted to make these really short and accessible so that you can be on the right path if that's your goal. Remember that not every resistance training routine will be equally stimulating to produce lean mass and build muscle. many people will gravitate to Pilates type workouts because these Pilates type workouts have been marketed to tone or firm up your body or snatch your body or whatever. And although these workouts may burn, they might not be enough stimulus to drive physical change in your body. And then on the flip side, people will be like, oh, well, I'm building muscle in my group fitness class, and they're just kind of throwing weights around haphazardly, and there's no real plan or program, or maybe they're not stimulating muscles to a high enough degree to see change in results. So don't be fooled by marketing that claims to tone up your body. Many times they're not following the basics for hypertrophy or for developing lean mass, and you just won't see much change. Okay, so two quick tips if you are working on body recomposition. Number one, if you're tracking food, which I know Hope, who we've worked with, she's a registered dietitian, does recommend that at first, because knowing if you're in 200 calorie deficit is tricky, right? 200 calories is not that much food. So it might be helpful for you to track calories in order to see like where your macros are, if you're eating enough protein, how much you're eating, things like that. You get some really good insights. But I don't recommend adding exercise into your calorie tracker. So when you calculate your total daily energy expenditure, that number that you're going to calculate from the body recomposition guide, you're already factoring in your activity into that number. So you could be double counting your exercise calories essentially and putting yourself in a surplus. Additionally, fitness trackers are notoriously inaccurate. And I also think that we shouldn't be looking at our workouts to burn calories in the first place, something that I talk about all the time. So I don't recommend tracking your calories burned from exercise and adding that in if you're tracking your food calories. And then my second recommendation is to not have a maintenance mindset. I think a lot of people are like, I want to just maintain my muscle mass and lose fat. I don't recommend that mindset. Maybe I'll do an entirely different podcast about this, but I do recommend kind of always being in a build mindset, even if it's slight, even if the progress is slow. Because if you are body recompositioning, is that a verb? Body recompositioning? Muscle growth is going to happen a little slower because it tends to happen slower when you're in a calorie deficit. So it's going to happen a little slower. And I think that's a good thing because it means you won't burn yourself out. But when you're in a calorie deficit, it's easier to lose muscle because if your body's like, oh, we're not using this very metabolically expensive tissue, muscle, you're going to break it down, right? So if you're in a maintenance mindset, you're more likely understimulating muscle and might be losing muscle mass in this process. So I do recommend having a mindset of building muscle rather than just maintaining it. All right, everyone, I hope this was helpful. Please know that this type of episode is not the norm for this podcast. I don't like to give recommendations about these aesthetic things, but I also want you to feel educated about your own body and be able to distinguish marketing versus science when you see the ads and posts on social media that might make you feel like you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it wrong. You've got this. We will see you all next week. Same time, same place. Bye for now.